David Meltzer, co-founder of Sports One Marketing and former CEO of iconic Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment Agency, is on a mission to empower over 1 billion people to find happiness. Through his commitment to delivering value, Meltzer's journey is marked by a relentless dedication to providing impactful content and communication to those he reaches.
Hi there, and welcome. Now it's time for America's favorite podcast, Leave Your Mark, with your host, Vince Cortez.
If it's fly, loose fit it, it's Cortez. If freeze and chub is in it, it's Cortez.
Leave Your Mark is about inspiring the world, one guest at a time.
Pass the word from Brooklyn to Pittsburgh, from urban to suburb, it's Cortez, you heard?
And here is our host, Vince Cortez.
I just want to touch on why I love David Meltzer so much, and it is his vision of being more. He's an inspiration to all of us in his lifelong commitment to expanding his wisdom and influence for positive purposes and touching others' lives to do the same. David, I'm very excited to interview you here. Thank you for being my guest today.
I appreciate, Vince, the opportunity to be here. It's part of my mission to get on the best shows with the best communities of people that I can empower. And so super excited to leave my mark on Leave Your Mark.
This is great. Now, what I want to touch on before we talk about your incredible success on the other side of life was your humble beginnings. Where were you born and raised?
Born in Akron, Ohio, till I was 9. My dad left when I was 5, went to San Diego at 9, and then have stayed in Southern California for the rest of the year.
So you're a nice mix. You're an East Coaster in your early days and then a West Coaster growing up. That's a great influence. It's going to make you well-rounded. Now, you say your dad left at 5. What was your parents' vocations? What did mom do and what did dad do?
My dad was a graduate law school and became an entrepreneur. So that was embedded in my genetics and energetics. My mom, after my dad left, worked 2 jobs. She was a second grade teacher, packed our dinner. There were 6 kids in a station wagon and dropped off greeting cards into turnstiles at convenience stores around Akron, Ohio, just so we could eat.
Oh my goodness. Truly humble beginnings. Now, you have 6 siblings.
5 siblings.
I'm 6, you're 1 of 6, and myself, I'm 1 of 4. Where were you in the birth order?
I was middle top, so I was, and still am, a typical middle child, which is why I love producing content, why I love speaking in TV shows, movies, why I go live so often and do interviews so often. I'm a middle child, still seeking attention, but hopefully in a positive direction. I call it a divine direction of helping other people in their own journeys to their potential.
I love it. I'm in the middle also. I'm in the lower middle, accused of talking too much. That's probably why they pushed me to do a podcast. So I can relate to the equipment you got available to you there, being a middle child. So where'd you get high school?
Patrick Henry High School, one of the largest high schools in California, where, by the way, I met my wife when I moved to San Diego at 9. She hated me through elementary, junior high, and Patrick Henry High School.
That's crazy. You met her at 9. So you're in middle school. So now when you're in high school at Patrick Henry, what were your activities and interests? Would you participate in?
ASB, where I was kind of the MC, master host of Patrick Henry, the lunch activities and all the events that we had. So I had a little bit of MC experience, but I was mostly into sports. So football and baseball and track.
Now, yours is similar to myself, where you have a business interest and you have a sports interest. Now, did you, so you participated in those sports you mentioned, or you were just emceeing?
I did. And I did in college as well. In fact, that's the only reason I chose Occidental College, home of Obama. I wasn't there at the same time. He's 7 years older than I. But there's a lot of, for a school that had 1,500 students, it had 2 benefits. One, that I could play football because there wasn't a long list that wanted a 147-pound football player. But it also had an esteemed alumni, whether it was in the business world, the teaching world, the engineering world, but also everyone from Jack Kemp to Obama to Jim Mora to even Ben Affleck. For such a small school, We have really high percentage of successful, very interesting people who had a desire that they must be what they can be.
And diverse as well, as you mentioned there. So now you graduate high school and you go into law school. So your father's influence weighs in here. So what was it like down in Tulane studying law?
You know, I chose Tulane. I was very intentional. It was the leading maritime law school. I wanted to be an oil and gas litigator. It was really more my mom's influence, who my entire life, and this may resonate with you, all I heard growing up was doctor, lawyer, or failure. She also said the fetus wasn't fully developed till after graduate school. Part of the reason I went to Occidental is a great feeder to graduate schools in Tulane, down in New Orleans, best suited my personality and the profession I thought I was going to pursue. Since it taught civil and common law, I was setting myself up for a very abundant future so I could make a lot of money to buy my mom a house and a car.
Now, this is interesting because you have videos on the internet talking about in your youth that you were going to be a millionaire by the time you're 30. And it appears in your 20s, you made that happen.
9 months out of law school, I made my first $1 million in 1992, even though Justice Scalia told me nobody would do research on the internet. You would need books. And my mom told me the internet was a fad. By 1995, we exited to Thomson Reuters for $3.4 billion. So not only was I a millionaire 9 months out of law school, I was a multimillionaire in 1995. And then I pursued my technology background up in Sand Hill Road, and my sales skills were utilized not to sell any type of product, service, or solution, but to raise money. And I became known as someone that was very well-versed in raising money on Sand Hill Road.
Now, with that thing, that skill, you go on and create a number of different businesses. Now, just as an entrepreneur myself, were you using that same method with each business, or you just had a keen sense of what was, you know, a necessity in order to be successful?
I had a keen sense on value. You know, one of the philosophies that I always had was, one, find out what people like and give them more of what they like, or find out what they don't like and take away some, if not all, of what they don't like. And then my gift was that I have always had the ability to articulate the quantitative value of what I was offering to exceed what I was asking for. And a lot of people have great knowledge of their product, service, solution, or brand, experience, whatever it is they're selling, giving people what they like or taking away what people don't like, but they forget the most essential part, which is to actually explain or articulate the value to exceed what they're asking for.
Love it. So now this goes on for a decade.
Connect with us on LinkedIn. Be our friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Whether jumping out the MP or jumping on the app. You are listening to Vince Cortez. We just want you to leave your mark.
Now, in your 30s, you take a turn here. And it sounds like it's the window of the 30s turns into a life-changing moment for you. So you go through bankruptcy, like, you know, after creating a number of multi-million dollar companies. How does that happen?
Well, even more strange, I get hired from being Samsung's CEO of their phone division, the world's first, at 99, they called a convergence device, which is really another term for a smartphone. It was a Windows device. It was a Windows C device. But Lee Steinberg, the most notable sports agent in the world, they made the movie Jerry Maguire about Lee, who you know. Lee hires me not because I'm a great lawyer, not because I'm a great sports agent or athlete like Warren Moon, who later becomes my business partner, but he hires me because I'm the only one with that type of background that at the highest level was a technology business expert, and I knew how to raise money, and he saw the future of sports in venture and technology, not in agency. And he was absolutely correct 20 years later, because that's what sports business is about, venture and technology. It's very little about the agentry side of it, representation, the legal side of what most people thought they needed to be a sports agent. But not only was I a multimillionaire, I actually had access to what billionaires could afford to have access to. The back cabins at the Masters, backstage at the Grammys and the Oscars, the sidelines at the Super Bowl, the locker rooms, the parties. And that was actually my downfall, is that I actually started surrounding myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas. I started believing my own bullshit, and I stopped living by the values, those Akron, Ohio values that my single mom taught me by watching her live her life with character and discipline and values. And I forgot where I came from, and I needed to regain that. And as always, the universe loves to provide you pain to indicate that you have a better place to be. So I lost over $100 million, went bankrupt, almost lost my wife and my three children, and almost even lost my life. But for my mom, my dad, my best friend, and my wife standing up to me and telling me, I don't know what I don't know, that although I was perceived as having everything, the money, the beautiful family, the happiness, the joy, everything I wanted I could buy, they told me I was living an empty existence and I was going to end up dead. And thank goodness I finally listened to my wife and I took stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And over the last 17 years, I've been on a journey of how to live in abundance in the world of more than enough of everything for everyone by utilizing wisdom and faith to get me in the divine direction, in the divine time, to make a lot of money, to help a lot of people, and still have a lot of fun with the right people and ideas around me.
I want to touch on your experience there with Mr. Steinberg. How easily, and share with me, because that environment's intoxicating. The sidelines of the Super Bowls, the backstage, and that's a lot of the demise of many people, because it's not really a real reality. It's a false reality. So what was something that stuck out with you that you realized this just doesn't strike my core, and it was time to go? What happened?
You know, Lee suffered from the same problem of knowing who I am and worried about what other people think I am. And when I was backstage and on the sidelines in the locker rooms, everybody was so worried about what people thought they were. And everybody who got to where they were forgot who they actually were. And so I shifted my paradigm and my perspective with gratitude and forgiveness, accountability and effective communication. I started finding the light, the love, and the lessons in places where other people weren't seeing it. I fired people who were bleeding me and hired people who were feeding me. I started to live with those values and have daily practices aligned with those values, knowing that good behavior was behavior that was aligned with where I wanted to be or better. And I had to change my bad behavior, which was creating bad progress, which meant bad behavior was simply that behavior that was not aligned with where I wanted to be or better. So I started to surround myself with the values, with the practices, and executing on it in a very consistent, persistent way. And then when I could enjoy it, the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of my potential, not what other people wanted for me or thought of me or what was missing or what I didn't have, but what I wanted personally, experientially, giving and receiving wise, it was amazing how the paradigm went from I am to what I think I am, or I want more, to I am, what am I doing to interfere with the more that I already have, the abundant, infinite loop, the unified system of thought, the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source that was coming through me for others. I was interfering with it. And that's when abundance became a practice of mine over 17 years. And believe it or not, I was able to make more money, help more people, and have more fun than I ever dreamed of.
Hi, everyone. This is Vince. I hope you're enjoying this episode. I just wanted to take a moment to let you know that I've started an online coaching. It's called Invincible Coaching. So if you're interested, Click a link in the description below. Now back to the episode.
Now yours, so then this takes root in your 40s. So I'm using your four principles of gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication. So you go on to have incredible success. You have a number of books, so you're an author. You have a blog. You're a podcaster. And you're running like four consecutive businesses in line with all of this. I mean, incredible business mind, ability to stay organized and all of that. And you're flourishing. But it seems to me like it's your core values that apply to all of this. And in maxing your potential is, yeah, it's like you found your spot in life. You're in the sweet spot right now.
Yeah, and I utilize those values, practices, and an execution model and apply them by utilizing the dependent variable of time. If someone was going to say what my love language was or what my superpower is, it's I understand time. I understand the infinite time of the past that is only limited by the meaning that I give it, which incorporates the gratitude and the forgiveness that's necessary to align the meaning of the failures, the setbacks, the mistakes, defining moments, historical relevances of my past, not to limit me, but to align with where I want to be or better. Then, of course, I use the man-made constructive time, 24 hours, which, by the way, we're all guaranteed 24 hours a day for every day of our life, except for the last day. And so you will be cheated the last day, hopefully not too many hours or minutes, but you will be cheated the last day. But too many people don't treat the day with what it's giving us, 24 hours guaranteed. And then making sure that not only is the meaning of my past aligned with the productivity, accessibility, and gratitude of the day, with those lenses of activities of planned, unplanned, paid for, unpaid for, and sleep, but also understanding the limitations of our own self-image, by knowing who I am and what I'm connected to and through, and just realizing that I limit my own potential because I'll never overachieve my own self-image. So therefore, what am I doing to interfere with my self-image? What am I doing to interfere with my potential? And when I realize this practice, by utilizing time as a dependent variable in the infinite past and the infinite future, but maximizing each day to know my now and know my next and apply my why, it's amazing how much activity that's productive and aligned with the behaviors and the execution to get to a divine direction, divine time to take me to where I want to be or better.
With all your experience, what challenges with the tools you now have do you face moving forward?
For me, I only have one challenge, and it's aligned with the philosophies, theories, spirituality, and religious concepts that I have. And it's how am I reacting to fear, and how much time do I spend reacting to fear? You see, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what I'm afraid of. I was abused when I was 9. I was poor. I have a lot of issues that are traumas, and I even believe in past lives only because I'm a best option person and I love life. So if someone gave me an option of one lifetime or millions, I'm choosing millions. So I have a lot of places where fear can become present in my life. And I found that that is a search that I'll work on, but the majority of my time is spent focused on how do I react to fear? And the reason is it's difficult to know what we're afraid of: genetic inheritance, energetic inheritance, childhood traumas. But it's so easy to identify how we react to fear. Because, for example, when you're pissed off, it's easy to know. Mm-hmm. When you're worried, it's easy to know. When you feel inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, guilty, resentful, offended, those are easy things to know. And I know one thing. When I'm in that ego-based consciousness, I'm interfering with my potential. So I've created a practice of utilizing wisdom and faith in order to shorten the distance of resistance that's created by my reaction to fear without worrying about what I'm afraid of. And therefore, people say to me, how do you have so much energy? How do you get so much done? In essence, that's what you're telling me with the questions you're asking. And the answer is, we all have the same amount of energy. I just don't interfere with it as much as everybody else. Even though I may not be in as good as physical shape as everyone on earth, I may not be younger than everyone on earth, I may not be taller or stronger, but yet I have more energy because I'm not interfering it with just minutes and moments. I'm interfering every day, not the normal days, weeks, months, and years that people spend in the reaction to fear.
Now, do you have any daily routines that you would not give up for anything because they've helped get you where you currently stand, and what are they?
Two. Number one, my tomorrow starts today. I have a daily routine called an unwinding routine. So I have a sleep coach for the last 17 years who has trained me to put my body, mind, and soul in a position of recovery and access. I used to want to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. My goal in life is to be put into the Sleep Hall of Fame. I want to be known as the person that recovered and accessed information for a third of my life better than any other human being to live. That I'm taking advantage of the most important 8 hours of our day, which is sleep. So that's my number one non-negotiable routine, is an unwinding routine facilitated by a sleep mentor, a doctor of sleep, who helps me travel 200 days a year and have an unbelievable amount of energy. Now, the second routine is the five daily practices. Every day, I wake up at 4 a.m. Pacific time, regardless of where I am in the world, some exceptions, and I ask myself, what do I want today in the divine direction? Who can I help and who can help me in the divine direction? How best can I utilize the activities of the 24 hours in the day to be productive, accessible, and gracious in the divine direction? Knowing what, who, and how, I now know every day what's important to me, not what's important to other people, what's missing or what I don't have, what's important to me in that divine direction. So in essence, I know my now and I know my next. And what is the most efficient, effective, and statistically successful way to utilize time is those people that know how to prioritize. And the reason is prioritization is the antidote to procrastination, and it's the antidote to feeling overwhelmed. Two things that stop people from reaching their potential every day. And if I know my what, my who, my how, and my now, I can apply my why. Utilizing wisdom and faith to identify the reaction to fear, to spend minutes and moments by not rejecting or resisting or going over, under, through, around, denying it, lying to it, cheating it, out-lodging it, out-reasoning it. I simply stop and I remind myself, I remember myself, I recollect myself with the unbelievable infinite source of more than enough of everything for everyone, an omniscient, all-powerful source. And I stop, I breathe, I drop down to my ease, and then I roll in the trajectory, the divine direction, the divine time to maximize my journey of my potential. If you know your what, your who, your how, and your now, I promise you, you will make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun.
I love it. Now, I'm going to wrap it up because I know we don't have too much time left with you here. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
Somebody told me that I was the kindest person that they ever met.
Okay. Another one. If you have a billboard, what would you put on it?
Oh, that's easy. Be more interested than interesting.
Okay. I want to throw your other one in there. I like your just say thank you. So that's just a sidebar.
Oh, yeah. Fastest and easy one.
The final question is how would you like to leave your mark? How do you want to be remembered, Mr. Meltzer?
Kindness. I want to be known and leave a legacy, a mark of kindness. Being kind to my future self and doing good deeds to me is the ultimate legacy. I want my children to be kind. I want my community to be kind. I want it to be a group of people that are here to help one another and know people that can help one another. Kindness is absolutely the greatest gift that we can give each other. So be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Be grateful, be forgiving, accountable, and effectively communicate. Live your life inspired in spirit, and you will have everything you desired and more.
Wow. Thank you very much for being my guest here today. I could have talked to you much, much longer.
Well, I have a gift for everyone in your community. I would love to sign my book, send it to everyone in your community. I'll pay for the book, I'll pay for shipping. Just email me david@dmeltzer.com. Everyone in the Leave Your Mark community, Vince and everyone else, email me david@dmeltzer.com. I will sign, send, and ship a book, pay for everything if you email me at david@dmeltzer.com.
Love it. All right. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll definitely stay in touch.
Please, Vince, I got a lot of people to introduce you to. Thank you.
Okay.
If you enjoyed that episode, wait till you watch this next one. Click the link above.
Thanks for listening to Leave Your Mark today. Tune into our next episode of Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez. Be blessed.
You just left your mark. Thanks for listening. Listen to more episodes on demand. Just click Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez.